It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, flipping the script. Fresh perspectives on some of the things that keep us up at night, like money. And how do we know when we have enough? It took our next speaker a long time to understand that wealth means different things to different people.
We're talking today about something very important, like why some people have more money than others.
Like so many folks in the 90s, I was a devout Oprah Winfrey show watcher.
This is Aisha Yandoro. She loved watching Oprah and Oprah's onstage pal, Susie Orman.
Favorite money expert, Susie Orman. She's got it.
And so I was introduced to 401ks by Susie Orman, of all people.
People first, then money, then things. What Avery and Monica.
I remember her. Totally. She, like, I think for a lot of women, she was the first time you heard about financial planning.
I think so. Exactly.
Every month until you're 65 at a 12% return, you'll have $1 million.
Blonde woman with these really white teeth that, like, was looking at you, telling you to get your financial act together,
right? Exactly, and telling you to save yourself first, and this is what you needed to do to be an empowered woman.
Together we can show the world.
We'll be right back. Back in a moment.
Growing up in Mississippi, Aisha knew her parents weren't rich, but they had everything they needed. Food on the table, presents at Christmas time.
And so we didn't have conversations about money. I didn't think about it. I didn't feel like I was missing anything.
But when she got to grad school and started working on a PhD in community psychology, Aisha met people who were loaded.
I saw people who were going to Greece and international travel just to lay on beaches. I met people who had more than one home, like multiple vacation homes. And so there was this clear separation of, oh, this is what money looks like.
A few years later, a little more sophisticated and ambitious, and armed with lots of degrees, Aisha was ready to take on the world.
I got my first job postgraduate school, and it was the most money at the time that I had ever made. I was making $70,000, and I was like, oh my God, this is so much money. And I was 27, so I was like, oh my God, I'm rich. This is it.
With Susie Orman's voice in her head, she made an appointment with a financial advisor. Aisha wasn't sure how to get started, but her basic financial goals were clear to her.
I was very clear that my goals were to be able to take care of my mom and to be able to retire by a specific age. And like, I remember when I met with the financial advisor, you know, I told him my name, you know, Aisha Yandoro. And he was like, oh, that last name is just a bit too much. So I'm just going to call you Aisha. And instead of sitting down and recognizing that I had very specific goals with limited information, they talked to me as if I was not deserving of what it was that I was trying to accomplish. So it wasn't, okay, you are interested in opening up a 401k. Do you really understand what that means? Let me walk you through what a 401k is. Let me walk you through what saving each month will look like. I wasn't spoken to like that. I felt like I was being talked down to. And instead of accepting those as being my goals, his response was, I don't know why taking care of your mom is your responsibility. So even with that, it's an othering. It's an, oh, do I belong here? Is this for me? And maybe this world of wealth and riches aren't meant for little Black girls from Jackson, Mississippi.
This meeting made Aisha feel completely terrible, invalidated. Like her ideas about what money is for were naive. And if she felt this way with a PhD and a well-paid job, how were other women of color without the same opportunities being treated? She never went back to that financial advisor and moved on with her life. She got married, had kids, worked in criminal justice, grant making, and affordable housing. And then Aisha moved back to her home state of Mississippi to start a nonprofit called Springboard to Opportunities, a group that runs after-school programs, healthcare clinics, and job training.
And it really was a very simple idea that we had. It was, how do you go about supporting families that are some of the most impoverished in this country, families that live in affordable housing, How do you go about supporting them as they work to support themselves and their families? That was our very basic goal when we started 10 years ago.
But something extraordinary happened when, in 2017, Aisha decided to pose a very simple question to the women they were serving, something that she'd wished she'd been asked in that financial planner's office all those years ago. What do you need? And how can I help?
When we listened, it was moms just needed more money. And it's not like they needed a significant amount of money. It wasn't $10,000, $15,000 problems. These were not middle-class problems. These were $500 problems, $250 problems, $25 problems. And so I said, okay.
Aisha Yandoro continues from the TED stage.
The problem was a lack of cash. No money for pizza on a Friday night was causing stress. Unexpected car repairs were leading to unemployment because people could not get to and from work. So we began to research, how do you give money, not another program, to people experiencing poverty? In 2018, we launched the Magnolia Mothers Trust, this country's first modern guaranteed income program and the first in the world to center its efforts on Black women. A guaranteed income is a specific amount of money given to a specific population over a set amount of time. It's not a new idea. Jenny Tillman, a mom and welfare activist, called for a guaranteed income way back in 1972. And even Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and President Nixon indicated that a guaranteed income could help solve for poverty. It's not a new idea, but like I said, we are pioneers and our efforts are working. We provide $1,000 a month for 12 months to Black mothers. And our goal is simple, to provide these women with the breathing room they need by giving them the financial resources they need to dream a little bigger.
So Magnolia Mothers Trust is now the country's longest running guaranteed income program. For people who maybe are wondering how this works, can you explain it?
Yep. We're doubling the income for most of the women that we work with because on average, our population makes about $13,000 a year. And it's a life-changing amount of money because folks are always like, oh my God, $12,000 isn't that much money. I'm like, $12,000 isn't that much money to people who have money. If you go from making $12,000 to making $24,000, think about how your life would change.
How many moms are on the program right now?
Right now, we have 134 moms.
Oh, wow. Can you tell me about one of them?
Yeah, so one of the moms who's in it right now is Keisha. She has two kids. She works full-time in the healthcare field as a certified nursing assistant, and she wants to be a nurse. And so what this means about her ability to go back to school, but not only her ability to go back to school, what it means for her and her ability to say yes to some of the things that her kids want, not just her kids' needs.
So I guess I'm thinking, like, that's great that for a year you get $12,000 and you get, you know, a little bit of breathing space as a mother. But what happens when the year is over?
So that's the thing. I don't think we give enough credit to breathing space. And I don't think we give enough credit or understanding about what it means to have your bandwidth taxed. When you're living in poverty and you're constantly just waiting for the other shoe to drop, you're just on that hamster wheel, you're just going. So for a year, yes, you get $12,000, which is amazing. But what it allows you to do is to not operate in scarcity. Mm. So you're able to operate in imagination. You're able to plan for the first time. You're able to see your future for the first time. And that's what we have so many of our moms telling us, that, oh, for the first time, I actually got to think about what I want.
One day I was having a conversation with Coco, a mom within the Magnolia Mothers Trust, and I asked her, what is wealth to you? Without skipping a beat, she said, if anything were to happen to me, my family would have the money to cover my burial expenses. Asking more and more women the same question, I have come to learn that wealth is dignifying funerals, the privilege of privacy, the ability to complete school, own a business, or the thrill of being the extravagant auntie. All of these are definitions of wealth to them. I have never had a mother say to me, wealth is having stocks and bonds, equity in her home, or even a retirement account. Instead, they dream about what a life of ease and care would look like. I was having a conversation with a mom I work with, and I asked if she had 6 months worth of savings to cover an emergency. She started laughing. She could not even see herself in the equation that I was offering. She said that before the Magnolia Mothers Trust, I didn't even have a savings account, let alone 1 month worth of savings. I said, okay, let me ask the question differently. What is wealth to you? She said, oh, that's easy. All of my bills paid every month with a little left over for anything extra. She knew exactly what she needed. Our narrow definition simply did not address her needs.
Just to tie it back to your own experience, it sounds like these moms want to give their kids what your parents gave you, which was not having to think about money, not even really giving it a second thought or talking about it because it wasn't an emergency. And that's what made you feel like you were rich or made you just not even think about it.
Okay, now you're gonna make me cry because you're right.
You're not talking about big fancy vacations. You're talking about, like you said, just being able to get pizza on a Friday night.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But that's what we do when we say no wealth is having equity in your home, 401k, retirement account, this much in savings, this type of vacation, this type of home. We can all have different definitions of wealth that matter to us. The reality is we should recognize that they all matter.
Hmm. So it's been, as you say, over 5 years since you first started. Do you see long-term effects of being given a little bit of breathing room financially, a little bit of not feeling so much stress about money?
So we have seen moms, like I said, who had gotten out of debt, gone back to school, moved into home ownership, moved out of market rate housing. But we also saw the impact that it had on their kids. We saw kids who were more hopeful about their future because they saw how their moms weren't stressed and how their moms were able to show up differently in that year. And that made them really excited about their future and their future goals. Mm-hmm. And I know that 10, 15 years from now, there is going to be some kid given their valedictorian speech, and they're going to talk about the year that their mom got some money from some random place and how it changed their life. They're not going to know my name. They're not going to know Magnolia Mother's Trust name. They're not going to know any of that. But they are going to know how that 1 year changed their family.
So when it comes to most of us and our expectations around wealth and, you know, questions we have, like, are we going about our finances the right way? All of this is really stressful for a lot of us. But I'm guessing that you would say, you know, maybe let go of some of those expectations and just ask yourself, how do you really define
wealth?
Wealth, right?
Yeah, I would. I would say, how do you define wealth? And is your definition of wealth truly connected to who you are? Or is your definition of wealth connected to what you're seeing on TikTok? When I truly sat down, I was like, okay, what is wealth to me? What do I believe in? What matters? It wasn't about having a house backed up against the lake, which is what I thought. It wasn't about having so much assets liquid, which is what I thought. It wasn't about any of that. It was about being a loving daughter. I am a pretty solid mom most days. My 13-year-old, you know, might disagree right now. We're sort of having a ruckus. And I get to do work on purpose. And so those are pieces that make me really, really wealthy. And it's not confined or limited to what my balance sheet looks like or any of those pieces.
Aisha Yandoro is the CEO of the nonprofit Springboard to Opportunities. You can see her full talk at TED.com.